If you have your books open to Psalms 139, we appreciate you following along this morning as we look at some points from the psalmist concerning examining our lives. He covers several things that will help us as men and women to look into our own hearts and our own lives and to see where we stand in the sight of God, to understand who we are and what our makeup is and actually what our thoughts and actions are. God knows all about us, and the psalmist then said in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I need to be concerned about who I am and what God sees in me. Each of us needs to be concerned about our relationship with God. The fact that God knows everything about us is important. And the fact that God is able to see into the thoughts and intents of our heart, not only the thoughts, but even before we think the thoughts that we have, He knows. He knows us. Knows us better than we can ever know ourselves. And so when we think about living our life on a daily basis, between the husband and wife, and parents and children, and friends and neighbors, and between brothers and sisters in Christ, and the attitude and the relationship we have with people in the community and in business and at work, how do we treat other people? How is our attitude toward others? God knows what you think about other people. He knows what I think of others. Is there any self-righteousness about me as it was with the Pharisees that God would condemn, because God knows if I'm self-righteous or not? God knows if I have any haughty attitude about me. And so I need to look to God's Word and understand who I am in relationship to Him and my frailty and my weaknesses and who I can be through Jesus Christ and obey Him that I might please God and shape my life according to His will. The psalmist in chapter 139 there, he opens his prayer by saying, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me." David knew that God knew him from head of his toe to the sole of his foot. He knew everything about him. Not only did he know him, but he says, "You have searched me." And not only did he say, "Lord, I know that You search me and You know me," but notice how David ended his prayer in Psalm 139. He says there that "I want You to do this very thing for me. Lord, I want You to search me. I want You to look at me. I want You to help me understand who I am so that I may know who I am, that I may understand who You want me to be, and that I can shape my life, that I can become what You want me to be in my life." It was important to David to know who he was, that he knew that God knew him. So it's important that we learn from God, that is, from His Word. God reveals to us through His Word today what we ought to have in our life, who we ought to be in our life. We are told in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 25, that we need to do what? That we need to look into the perfect law of liberty. That means that I need to take this book, this Bible, the Word of God, and I need to look into it, and I need to read the pages, and I need to look into the intents of what God wants me to be, and He will tell me what He sees about me. He will tell me if I have evil thoughts in my heart. He will inform me and let me know who I am by the things He teaches me through His Word. And once I see and realize what He wants me to be by looking into His Word and see what He sees in me, then I can also see what He wants me to be. And in that Word, if I conform to it, I will become what He wants me to be. So looking at God's Word is very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 points out, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, that it's dangerous for us to start comparing ourselves with other people. I don't need to compare myself with any other men or any other brethren or anyone else at work. You don't need to compare yourself with anyone else. What do we need to compare ourselves to? God and His Word and what God sees in us. It is a dangerous thing. Don't measure yourselves among yourselves, because those who measure themselves among themselves and by themselves, we're not going to be successful. So we can't take the standard of what this man is doing and compare my life to it and say, "Oh, you know, I think I'm doing a little bit better than him, so I'm okay." That's not what he's saying. What David is saying is that God knows all about me. God will tell me who I am because He knows who I am. And Lord, search me and let me understand who I am so I can please You, Lord. That's what He's saying. So I need to understand that measure myself with someone else is dangerous. Comparing myself with someone else is dangerous. And we're going to talk about that a little bit for the lesson. So that David knew then who God was and what God could do. And he said, Lord, what I want you to do is search me and help me to understand. So what? So I can be led where? In the path of righteousness. So I can be led in that path everlasting. Let's look at Psalms 139 this morning and look at some of the things that David says that God informs us about. He says that God tells us this. God knows this. What is it that God knows about you and I? Well, we can just sum it up at one point saying He knows everything. But let's break it down into the four, five, six points that David makes in this writing here in Psalms chapter 139. Number one, verses 1 through 6 that Brother Farley read. Now, I'm not going to read those verses again because we've already listened to them. I'll read some of the verses later in the chapter on some of the other points. But the first point is, he says that God knows everything we do. You know everything about me. You search me and you know me. Doesn't matter if I'm sitting down, if I rise up, wherever I'm at, you know everything about me. That can be a little bit frightening, Greg. To know that everything that I do, God knows. Can't hide anything from me. There's nowhere I can go into a valley or to a cliff or a crevice or in a deep forest or in a house or in a safe shelter that God does not see. God knows everything we do. He not only knows what we do, but He's searching our heart and He knows what we're thinking. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But He knows all we do. It's amazing what you see sometimes when people don't know you're looking at. Where I'm employed, in the office where I work, we have all these monitors. And I can go from one store to the other at any time and look at what they're doing live in any store. And usually when I'm working on my computer doing things, I've got the other one on there, and it's live on whatever store I work at. And I can see the cashiers counting out pennies. I can see the meat man taking meat out of the case. I can see them checking in vendors at the back door. But you'd be amazed what you see that people do on the clock at work. When they don't know someone's looking. It's really a frightening thing to think about what we can see when others don't know we're looking. Like Adam said to his clients, when he's not, it doesn't matter if someone else can't see what I'm doing. What matters is that God can see what I'm doing. He knows all of it. And so, God knows everything about us, says Jan, read verses 1 through 6. David said, you know everything about me. When I rise up, when I sit down, he said verses 7 through 12 that Jan read. We won't read these five verses. We'll just refer to them again. He not only knows everything we do, but he knows everywhere we go. You went there. You did this. The Lord knows. He knows where I've been. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. There's not anything that can be hidden from Him. He knows our rising up and our sitting down. If we go into the mountain, if we go into the valley, if we go into the dark of the night, it doesn't matter. He knows. It's amazing the technology we have. And Jay, I suppose flying some of those planes, you may realize that the night vision, you pick up a lot of things on the ground, don't you? Although it's dark, you can detect certain things and know what's there. At least the form of it and the place they're situated, perhaps if it's got heat or not. There are things that we have today that man has come up with that can see through the night and see certain things, the night goggles and such like. And the laser, the lights that can be shown and go down, and the radar images that can be brought up at night, even though it's dark to the naked eye. But that doesn't matter to God. He can see anything, anywhere, anytime. We can't hide from Him. He knows where we're at and what we're doing. Well, verses 13 through 16, He knows what we are. He knows where I'm at, what I'm doing, and He knows everything about me. He knows what I am. He knows if I'm a hypocrite or not. He knows. He knows if I put any study into this lesson. Or if I just rolled it off of someone else's outline up here reading. He knows. He knows that about you. He knows what we are, what we're made out of. Look at verses 13 through 16. For that is for my inward parts, that is we, me, and my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. The days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So he knows what we're doing, where we're at, and who we are. Have you ever met someone and talked to them a few times, and perhaps maybe you even attend services with them for a period of time? Or maybe you work with them for a period of time, or you do business with them for a period of time. Or perhaps they live next door to you for some time. And you think, you know, I don't even know who they are. Don't know who they are. Oh, I would recognize them, that 6'4", black hair. Light skin. I know the person. But I don't know if that person is dishonest or a cheat or if they're really faithful. But God does. God knows what we are. He knows the thoughts of our hearts, where we go and what we do. And that should be a fearful thing, but not only should it be a fearful thing, it should be a sobering thought for me to know that if God knows what I'm doing and where I'm at and what I am, then I need to realize that He knows the real me, and so if my real me is not what He would want me to be, I need to be changing it to form to what He wants me to be. So that when He sees what I do and where I go and who I really am, then I am in compliance with His will and His way. Well, Psalm 139 tells us not only that God knows what we do and where we go and what we are, but He knows what we think. Verses 17 and 18. How precious also are the thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's thoughts are God's thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. But David wanted to know what God's thoughts was of him. And he wanted to mold his thoughts in keeping with what God's thoughts are. So for me to really know myself, I need to get into the book and study and read and learn what God's thoughts are for me. And then I need to think as God would have me to think. Some of the things that God teaches me in His Word and teaches you in His Word is that our thoughts, our very thoughts, are the very beginning of what we say. Our thoughts are the very beginning and the source of what we do. So it's important what we think, because we've got to think it before we do it. There may should be such things as just a natural reaction to something that happens very quickly, but the response from the mind to the body is simply think before we speak and think before we do. Think before we partake. Think before we don't do it. Think about it. If we think about it and really think about what it is we're doing and why we're doing it and would God want me to do this and is it right to do, then I won't be more likely to be doing what I ought to do and going where I ought to go and being what I ought to be, because my thoughts direct me. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, says the psalmist. Jesus pointed out several times in His ministry to the Pharisees and to different Jews at different times that their thoughts were not what God wanted them to be. That they felt more highly of themselves than they ought to think. That they thought of themselves as being very religious, and they displayed that with phylacteries on their garments to make a big show of religion and thinking that, look at me, what I am. But what did God think they were? You'd be blind later than blind. You are hypocrites. You pharisaical attitude to point your finger down at the publican who humbled himself to God, and you up and beat yourself on the chest and you think you're so good. Well, I need to understand God knows who I am. He knows who you are. And I need to understand as a gospel preacher that I'm responsible for preaching God's word and taking that word and apply it first of all to my life and trying to share it with others. So being a preacher or having an opportunity to stand before someone in a class or a pulpit is not anything that should ever go to anyone's head. It's a privilege and it's an honor. It's an opportunity. It should be an humbling thing for us. Yet sometimes it goes to people's heads. And they don't think like they ought to think concerning God. He knows what we think. Our thoughts direct our life. Well, He knows what we love, verses 19 through 22. All of us love certain things. And there's a place in life for different types of love. First of all, ought to be our love for God. Love for others and love for self. There ought to be that love for the church and love for Christ and love for the body of Christ that hits in there. The love of God, the love for God would include the love for God and His Son and the church and His Word and those things spiritually that will help me to be saved if I do what's right toward His Word and toward the church. Do we love the church as we ought to? Do we love the brethren and sisters as we ought to? Do we love each other as we should? Matthew 7 and 12. How about our love toward one another? He knows what we love. What do we really love? Well, some people you can tell by their actions sometimes in some places that what they love to do is get the service over with quickly so they can get gone. We got to go. Just make it quick. Get us out of here. You can tell sometimes by some people occasionally in different places that some people really love themselves. If you see someone who never tries to mingle or tries to speak to anyone else very often, but they're always speaking to themselves or just chosen select few, I'm sure God will question their love for others and my love for others. If I didn't try to speak to that stranger that came in the door, or occasionally speak to my brother or sister that sits across the room from me in a service. He knows if we love our brothers and sisters or not. He knows our attitude toward other people. If we love other people, we're going to be careful about what we say to them and how to say it. We're going to always speak the truth. But sometimes we need to be careful about what we say, that we don't say it in a way that it damages a relationship with a brother or sister, because we're hardy when we say it. We say it in a hurtful way. Words hurt. Actions hurt. But words can heal. Words can heal. Actions can heal. He knows what we love. And I tell you, we show by our actions toward others how much we love ourselves and how much we love others. Which is, do I love myself more than anyone else, and I'm not going to show others how to love them, or what is it? He knows what we love. Look at verses 19 through 22. Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against the wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become mine enemies. The point here is for us today is that God hates sin, not the person. He hates the sin. He wants people to come out of the sin. Understand that? James, he wants people to come out of the sin. So someone walks in this door to visit us. Maybe they are divorced. And maybe if they were to be remarried, they'd be living in adultery. Well, what if something happened to somebody's family and their family got broken? And they can't ever remarry. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sometimes Christians treat some people who are divorced, men and women, who can't ever remarry and they may never remarry, because they know they can't or they'll be living in adultery. But sometimes they get treated like they're already living in adultery. And that you don't have any place with us because of the failures you had in your life. What was God saying? All Jesus wanted was the people that were in sin to stop sinning and obey God. I need to take a look at that sometimes. Do we hate the person and the sin? Or we hate the sin and love the person and try to help them so they too can serve God? That was just one illustration. There's many we could use. Know what we love. Well, He knows what we desire. Verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me into everlasting life. He knows what we desire. What are our desires? He knows if we desire to be at the services, and He knows if we prepare our minds to come and participate and answer questions and talk. He knows if we truly desire to go to heaven, if our affections are set on things above and not on this earth. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God, He knows what we desire. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. He knows who we are. He knows the thoughts we have and what we desire. And so our desires need to be based on what God tells us ought to be our priorities. The priorities of seeking first the kingdom of God, setting our affection on things above, loving our husbands, loving our wife, loving our children, loving the brethren, loving the church, loving Christ, and loving those around us. Not loving their sin, condemning their sin, but loving them that they might come to God. Loving souls. If Jesus had based His journey to this earth and His life on this earth and the plan that the Father had for Him to die for our sins, if He had based it on whether or not I was a person that could come to Him or would come to Him, or what I was doing was very bad and He didn't want to talk to me. He desired, though, that I would understand who He is and that I would come out of my sins and come to Him. And that should be our desire, that we could tell others to know the truth and come to God. He knows our desires. What are our desires? Well, some have said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And David, it's evident, Psalm 139, that he realized that God knows all. He's ever present. He's all powerful. He's ever with us. We're always in His sight. He realized that God knew everything about Him. He hears, He sees, He knows. I can't hide anything from Him. And he asked the Lord to lead him in the everlasting way. That's something I need to do in my life, is to look at the book and read it, and understand that God knows all about me, and to have that desire and that knowledge and that willpower and that want to say, Lord, lead me in the right way. Help me to see what You see in me, so that when I see the things I'm doing wrong that You see I'm doing wrong, that I can put them away. Lord, help me to see what You see in me, that if I've had animosity and the wrong attitude toward others, that I will understand that I need to treat them in the right way, in the right attitude, and think of others. We need the same attitude today. Learn what God wants us to do. He will tell us how to make the corrections in our life and then work toward making those corrections. Well, Alan used these verses in the class Wednesday night, and I hope you don't mind me using them in this lesson. When we're in the class, I was thinking, I'm going to talk about those verses Sunday morning. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. The Word of God is powerful. It's important. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, God sees all, knows all, hears all. We can't hide from Him. He knows our desires. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows where we're at. He knows our actions. He knows us. And He will tell us in His book what He sees in us. We need to get in the book and see what He sees so we can fix our life. Well, let me get back down to the last. It's important that we realize that as we're looking at God's Word and looking into His teachings, that when I look at this book and I look at what God says, there's some important things I need to do. Today we need to use God's Word to search and examine our life, and we need to be careful about the standards that we use to judge ourselves by, to test ourselves by. We're told to test ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. If we go to God's Word to take that examination, we need to be on guard and be sure that we're not using some other standards that God does not want us to use, and we're failing to understand who we are because we're judging ourselves and we're examining ourselves by the wrong standard. It's important that we don't use those other standards. For instance, sometimes people want to use the basic standards and doctrines and teachings of men to judge themselves rather than the Word of God. Sometimes religiously we want to take what a council of men has decided, what a group of men has decided, a church creed that someone's come up with, or a church covenant someone's come up with, and we want to live by that creed or that covenant or that doctrine and not really ever realize who we are and conform to the Word of God, because we can't, because that came from men. And we need to be careful that we don't judge and examine ourselves by the standards and deeds of men. Galatians 1:6-9, Paul says, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from the gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are those who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. He says, for do I now persuade God or men? And if he persuades men, he cannot be a servant of God. So what's our standard? Is it the standard of men's doctrine or the standard of God? God can search us. He can help us to know if we'll stay away from the standards of men, if we'll stay with the standard of God. But what about again, 2 Corinthians 10:12, comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Again, we may want to say, well, how am I looking today, Don? How are we looking? Who am I supposed to compare myself to? Is it? Man? No. I need to be looking at God's Word, God's book, and say what God, see what God sees in me. Compare myself to what God tells me I am and what He wants me to be, and then start conforming myself by His Word so I can be what He wants to be. So, setting the standard and testing ourselves and examining ourselves by the standards and doctrines of men is dangerous and wrong. By comparing ourselves among ourselves is dangerous and can lead us into trouble. And then we understand that not only that, but what about the popular worldviews that people have? There's people out here today and they say, I'm doing pretty good, because look at the rest of the world. Or someone say, I must be doing okay. I must look okay in the sight of God because everybody else is doing it, and if they're doing it, it can't be that bad, because everybody else is doing it. And going back to that adulterous situation, just because a lot of other people's living in adultery and the law of the land allows it, doesn't mean God does. It's just like strong drink, partaking of strong drink and being involved in it. Just because many people do it, it doesn't make it right for me to do it. Just because others may lie or cheat, doesn't give me a right to do it. But the majority of the world will lead, the ways of the world will lead a lot of people astray, and we'll compare ourselves by the world, and before we know it, we'll condemn ourselves because we follow the ways of the world. Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus said, enter ye into the straight gate. For, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth where? Leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. So we need to be careful about comparing ourselves to the rest of the world, because He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. The narrow way that leadeth what? Leadeth unto life. And what? And few there be that find it. So more important is that I go to God's Word and God's book, and I see what He sees in me, and I get in that straight and narrow way. S-T-R-A-I-T. Because it's not going to be easy. I've got to work on it. There's going to be difficulties. Get in that way that leads to life, because many go the other way and they're going to be lost. So what must I rest my standard on? I must rest my standard on what David did in Psalm 139. I need to rest my standard for myself on this book. I need to compare myself with the things that are in the book, get in the book, see what God sees in me, apply them to my life, Because if I will apply it and obey it, I can please God and go to heaven, and you can too. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is prompted for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Remember Hebrews? It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God will help us to see ourselves. Just a few thoughts this morning from Psalm 139 and a few other places. In understanding that we live in a sinful and violent world. We live in a society where if we're not careful, we'll be misled. And we'll judge ourselves and we'll test ourselves and we'll compare ourselves with the wrong standard. The standard God wants us to heed is His Word. Because He can search us through it. We can search ourselves by it. We can conform ourselves to it and be pleasing to God and get to heaven. If you haven't searched your heart, and if you have searched your heart, and you realize that you have obeyed the Lord, then please come to Him today in obedience. If you've never been baptized into Christ, the Lord teaches that you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and rose again the third day. Come forward, confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized, and He'll wash away your sins, and we can let God's Word then direct us throughout life and be faithful to it, and heaven can be our home. Perhaps there may be those who need prayer. Maybe you need to confess wrong in your life. You need prayer to the brethren that you can be right with God. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And He's ready and willing and waiting for us to come and accept Him and conform our life to Him and shape our lives by His Word. If you have need, we can help you. Don't leave us in the invitation song. Please come while we stand.
All things are ready.